Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1483, air date October 2nd, 2024.
Did you hear me?
Think would be very, very valuable for your audience, be it in Australia and the global audience and even the US audience, is to really understand how US elections work. I would say most people do not have any idea. So for example, in Australia, you guys have a parliamentary system, right? Many countries in the world have parliamentary systems. There's a president, which is very different than the president in the United States, and then there's a prime minister. So do you want to explain to people in Australia, for example, if you know how a president is elected and who the prime minister is?
In Australia, basically, we have like groups, so like the equivalent of Democrat republics, we call them Labor, Liberal, you know, red or blue, the same
kind. Parties. They're called parties.
Once they get enough majority votes, they then elect a leader of that group who becomes the prime minister. But the prime minister is, it doesn't have as much, powers as a president would be. So my understanding, I'm not really sure about the US process, but I'm assuming it's similar.
The prime minister then appoints, and the prime minister has a lot of power in your countries where you have parliamentary systems, and then they appoint a president who is the leader of the upper and lower house of Congress, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works. You may want to go study it if you're not really aware of it, but that's how it works, for example, in India and all the British Commonwealth countries, you know? So the United States is very, very different. And I would say most Americans don't even know how presidential elections work. So there's typically a general election that takes place around November 4th or 5th in the United States. The general election in the United States right now takes place on November 5th, 2024. Okay. That's coming up in about a month now, right? About 33 days. It's October, what is it, 3rd today? 2nd or 3rd?
3rd in Australia, yep.
Yeah, I think in Australia it's the 3rd, right? It's 2nd, I think, still here. So anyway, to everyone listening, let me explain the process and why I call it the myth of presidential elections. There is no one voting in any state for the president on November 5th. No one is voting for me for president. No one is voting for Donald Trump for president. No one is voting for Kamala Harris for president. Many people know through the hard work of our movement and our volunteers, we're on the ballot in nearly every state except 4 states in the United States. That's pretty amazing for a new movement. In some states, we're listed. In other states, people can write us in. Nonetheless, electors had to choose me as their pledged candidate. So let me walk through this step by step, Okay. So what happens in the United States is we have 50 states plus the District of Columbia, right? Which is 51 areas. When the United States was created, what was created was a United States government in 1787. Okay. In 1776 was the American Revolution. Prior to the American Revolution and up until 1787, they were still colonies, right? Individual, what you would call states. New Jersey was one of them. Virginia was another one of them. Massachusetts. And there were 13 of these colonies. Believe it or not, they had their own governance systems. Each one of these colonies were mini countries, states. They had a executive branch. They had a governor, typically appointed by the crown, the queen. They actually had their own legislative systems, which was a legislature. And they also had some level of judiciary, okay? To some extent. So, but anyway, and people were made citizens of these colonies. So when the United States government forms, you have these 13 individual states. They could have just kept going their own way, but they decided to come together as a United States government. When they came together, those states were governing themselves. They said, okay, we're going to now have a government of the United States, and the states would have representatives going to that government. They called it the federal government. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So how did they do that? Well, the federal government of the United States had three branches: a judiciary, which was made up of judges, federal judges, and the Supreme Court. That's one branch. In another branch, they had the executive branch, and the head of that was what was called the president of the United States. And the third branch of that government was something called the legislature, Congress, which had two branches, like you do in Australia and many other areas. They had the upper house and the lower house. I think you have that, right, in Australia?
Yeah.
In the United States, the upper house was called the Senate, which has 100 representatives, two representatives from each of the 50 states now. So that's how you get 100, 2 times 50. And then the lower house, which is known as the House of Representatives, has one representative right now for roughly 750,000 people. And they can expand that number one to, let's say, more than 750,000. So you have roughly around 454 representatives in the House of Representatives. So if you multiply 454,000 roughly by about 750 or 800, you get the U.S. population of 330 million people. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So every state, based on its population, well, first of all, every state would get two representatives to the Senate, the upper house de facto. And every state would get a certain number of representatives to the lower house based on their population. So if one state has, let's say, 7 million people, they get about, you know, let's say a little bit less than 10 representatives, right? Roughly 750,000, right? If another state only has, let's say, 1 million people, they may only get one representative to that lower house, okay? So in this way, the states were getting representation and the people of the states in Congress. Well, the president, however, is a representative of all the people. How is the president, he or she, elected? This is a very interesting question. We just spoke about in Australia and India, the president is simply appointed or anointed by the prime minister. The prime minister is elected by the party. The parties in your countries, representatives in the upper and lower house, are elected by the people, right? But the members of the legislative assemblies in your countries are members of parliament, MPs, I think they're called, are the ones who get together based on the majority party and they elect the prime minister. Yeah. So it's a couple of steps removed, right? People don't directly elect the prime minister or the president in your country. People elect their representatives. Depending on which party wins, they elect the prime minister, and then the prime minister appoints the president. So it's almost three levels removed, okay? no one runs for the president in your countries, right? India, Australia, they're appointed. So how does this work in the United States? It's quite fascinating. So when the Constitution was being put together, there was this whole concept, right, of where should the power rest, at the federal government or at the states, and how much, right? It was this whole concept of states' rights versus federal control rights. I hope that makes sense. So one concept is the federal government has all the power, the United States government. The other is, no, we're a bunch of states. We choose to be part of your union called the United States. So that's called states' rights, where more emphasis on the state. So this was a big discussion. Eventually, a guy called Hamilton, who was one of the framers of the Constitution, another guy who's considered really the person who wrote the Constitution, James Madison, who became the fifth president, had huge conversations, and eventually they compromised on how the president would be elected. It's going to sound a little complicated, but this is what happens. In every state, on November 5th, on a general election, the people in every state are not voting for the president. Who are they voting for? They're voting for a slate of presidential electors. A slate, a set of presidential, there's multiple slates, which are multiple names of presidential electors in a state. If that slate gets elected, that slate of presidential electors have agreed many weeks after the general election, which is actually the second Wednesday or the first Wednesday after the second Monday in December, which would be December 17th, 2024, that slate of presidential electors then elects their pledged candidate. Okay, so let me walk you through an example. So in the state of New Jersey, which roughly has a population of around 10 million people, okay, how many, they have representatives already in the federal government, right? They have two senators, right? Plus they get roughly 12 representatives in the lower house. So 12 plus 2 is what? 14. So what happens is, if you want to run for president, what has to happen is, in New Jersey, you would have to get a slate of presidential electors who say, we are going to vote for Crypto Rick if we get elected on December 17th, but they get elected when? On November 5th. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So it's like they vote for the batch and then the batch then takes them in.
Yeah. If they get elected. So it's a batch of people. We call it a slate of presidential elector candidates, to be specific. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So therefore, if you take the state of New Jersey, a slate of elector candidates, 14 of them, one slate, has pledged, who is their pledged candidate is who? Donald Trump. Another slate of presidential elector candidates, their pledged candidate for president is Kamala Harris. Another slate of 14 presidential electors, candidates, have pledged their vote to me, Dr. Shivaya Durek, okay? So there's three sets of pledged slate or batch or slate of pledged candidates, okay? 14 in each. Up until the 1900s, the early part of the 20th century, when you went to vote in New Jersey, when you walked into the ballot, you never saw the names of Donald Trump or Dr. Shiva or Kamala Harris. Whose names did you see? You saw the list of the 14 presidential electoral candidates for one of the pledged candidates, the next 14 and the next 14. So if you had three presidential electoral candidates running, you would see how many? 42 names. And you can mix and match, all right? Does that make sense? So if you had 10 people who are pledged candidates, me, Trump, Harris, I don't know, Clinton, Bush, right? 10 people, you'd have 140 names. Okay? Mm-hmm. This was getting quite cumbersome. printing costs, right? So every ballot, if you're distributing ballots to 10 million people, 10 million times 140, you have to print 1.4 billion times those names. Okay, think about it. So what they decided in the early part of the 19th century or the 20th century is they said, we're going to take this slate and put a label on them. And the label is going to be the name of the pledged candidate. It was just a label. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So let's say you had 14 people who said they would vote for you if they were elected November 5th on December 17th. They said the label is going to be Crypto Rick. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when you went to vote and you saw Crypto Rick, they're not voting for you for the office of president. There is no office of president at the state level. There's the office of electors. Okay. So they are voting when they vote, when they see your name and they check off your name, they're not voting for you. They can't vote for you legally because that comes after on December 17th. They're actually voting for your slate of electoral candidates. So one vote, let's say, goes to you. Someone else may step in, they see Dr. Shiva, which is my elector candidates who said they pledged a vote to me. When they put, they're not voting for me. That's just a convenience. And I would say so many judges, so many lawyers, so many law students don't even know this concept. It's called the Electoral College. So when they check my name, they're not voting for me because every state is an independent state. There is no office of the president in a state. You can vote for the House of Representatives. You can vote for senator. You can't vote for the president. You can vote for the electors. Does that make sense?
So, yeah. So these 14 people or whatever on each slate, do they just have a pre-agreed thing that, yeah, we're going to choose Dr. Shiva, or do they have to go through internal voting themselves?
Yeah, so what happens is now, this is understood, right?
Yeah.
So how do the slate of elector candidates become elector candidates in a state? So New Jersey, those 14 elector candidates, they come together. They say, we like this guy, Dr. Shiva. He's going to be our pledged candidate at this point in time. Guess what? They have the right to switch if they want. They can say, you know, so when they go out, and by the way, to become a candidate, how do they become a candidate? They have to go collect signatures on nomination petitions for those 14. So they get a piece of paper which lists all the 14 people's names. And then they have to collect signatures. So in New Jersey, you have to collect about 2,000 signatures. That means you have to go out on the street, stand in the rain and snow. You say, hey, we're one of the, I want to be an elector candidate. Would you sign my paper? And my pledge candidate is Dr. Shiva. Okay. Mm-hmm. So like this, each of those 14 batches of people or sets of people have to collect signatures. Once they get their 2,000 or 1,000, then they submit those signatures to the Secretary of State of New Jersey because it's a state thing. And the state reviews the signatures, makes your bona fide signature and say, great, this slate of presidential electors are now candidates. This slate is now candidates who have this pledged candidate. But remember, they're not bound to that. They're not bound to me. If any one of those slates gets elected come December 17th, they could say, no, we're not voting for Dr. Shiva. I don't know. We just decided we don't like him. We're going to give our votes to Crypto Rick. They can do that. It's called faithless electors. Some states have rules saying you have to vote for the person you pledged to. Otherwise, they charge you a penalty. Okay? Mm-hmm. All right. Does that make sense? So,
yeah. Just with the 14, though, do they vote internally? Do they? How would the 14?
Yes. So what happens is, again, going back to the November 5th general election, when you walk into the voting booth and you see Dr. Shiva, Trump, or Harris, you're not voting for me. You're voting for those slates of electors. So let's say the slate for Dr. Shiva wins. Remember, I said then every state legislator throughout the country on the Wednesday after the second Monday, the state legislature meets, the local Congress in the state, okay? And the presidential electors who were won go to that meeting. And the state legislature says, who are you going to give the votes for New Jersey to? Oh, we're going to give them to Dr. Shiva. That occurs on December 17th.
Okay.
So the point is, I want to emphasize is, who is running? Is anyone running for the office of president in any state on November 5th? What's the answer?
No.
No, that's one is. There is no such office.
Mm. They're just voting for the slate of
presidential electors.
Who will direct the votes to their pledge.
This was a compromise between Alexander Hamilton and James Madison to give the states rights, but still have a president who is a representative of all the people. So the office of president is a federal office, which is voted on December 17th by the presidential electors, not by the people directly. Very tough concept for people to understand. So now consider this. So I hope this is clear. So number one, when you see the name, every American listening to this, by the way, because they don't study history anymore, they don't study civics, school teachers don't know this, lawyers don't know this, judges don't know this. They've all, frankly, been made to be dumb fucks, okay? They just repeat like robots. Oh, we're running for president. No, I'm not running for president, idiot. I'm a pledge candidate. If my slate of electors who want me to win, then I may be voted on by each of the state legislatures. So that's why in 2020, some of those presidential electors jumped ship, okay? And they said they were not going to vote for a particular candidate, right? They switched to Trump, okay? They have that right. And this became a big legal issue, okay? But nonetheless, the bottom line is, on November 5th, to every American listening, you are not voting for the office of president. You're voting for a name which represents a slate of electors. This is why within microseconds, they were able to flip the switch from Biden to Kamala Harris, because the electors in all those states had a label called Joe Biden. And they just ripped off that label and they put a new label, Kamala Harris. Okay? They could have put Mickey Mouse. They could have put Vladimir Putin. So now, does that make sense?
Makes sense.
Now, so you have running for the office of president, being elected to the office of president, step two, and holding the office of president. This is at the federal level. No different from running for the office of senator, holding the, being elected the office of senator, and then becoming a senator, which is assuming the office. Three different very critical steps. There are qualifications to become president of the United States. There are qualifications to become a presidential elector at every state. So in New Jersey, you have to be 25 years of age to be an elector. I think you have to reside in the state for 5 years. It's a couple of other qualifications. And you have to collect those signatures. The states, that's all they can control. They can't control who these electors want to choose as their pledge candidate. The electors could say, we want Fidel Castro. They can. They can say, we want an alien. We want someone who's not a U.S. citizen. They can say, we want a five-year-old child. They can do that. It is called the First Amendment right of those electors, the freedom of speech, the freedom of association. Again, most judges, lawyers don't know this. It's the Electoral College. People want to wish away the Electoral College. But these slate of electors could say, we want Crypto Rick in Australia. People say, wait a minute, he's not a U.S. citizen. He lives there. And he's, no, but that's who we want. So what will happen is, let's say those presidential electors candidates do get elected. On December 17th, they'll raise their hand and say, we want Crypto Rick. Then on January 6th, the date January 6th is important because that's when all the electoral votes are counted by Congress, which is a representative of all the people. They'll say, okay, New Jersey, how many votes? Well, we got 14 electors. Who's it for? Crypto Rick. Wait a minute. That guy's an Australian citizen. Then a debate would ensue in Congress, and they say he cannot hold the office of president. Then you would get disqualified, and there would be some procedures where those 14 electoral votes go. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So the point is, Congress is deciding who holds the office of president. anyone can run for the office of president in any state, because you're really not running for the office of president. You're a pledged candidate. So now let's go to me. So the United States Constitution has three qualifications to hold the office of president, holding the office of president. What is those qualifications? You have to be natural born. Quote unquote, the Constitution never defined natural born. People think it means you're born on U.S. soil, but it's not true, as I'll talk about. All right, that in 1787. The second thing is you have to be 35 years of age. And the third thing is you have to have lived in the United States resident for 14 years, okay? Three qualifications. Is it to run for president? Are those qualifications to run for president?
No.
They're to hold the office of president. Okay? Mm-hmm. So by way of example, in New Jersey, they had a woman who was 28 years old called PETA Lindsay, I think in 2012. She was a pledged candidate of a group of 14 electors. Those 14 electors said, we like this woman. She's great. She's 28 years old. What's the age to assume the office of president?
35.
But they say, fuck off, that's our First Amendment right. What does the First Amendment say? It's the right of association, the right of freedom of speech. People get together. We like this person. The government cannot deny them. That's called the First Amendment right, First Amendment to associate and choose somebody. So they chose PETA Lindsay in New Jersey as their pledge candidate. Those 14 electors went and got their 2,000 signatures, and they were put on the ballot. Because what? They are running for the office of electors. She's a pledge candidate. If she had been elected, or these electors had been elected, then on December 17th, they would have said PETA Lindsay. That would have gone to Congress. And Congress would say, whoa, whoa, whoa. She can't hold the office. She's 28. It would have occurred there. That's who has the jurisdictional authority, not the state. So I'll give you another example, example that further makes it clear. Joe Biden, again, these are federal candidates, was running for the office of Senate, and he was only 29 years old. You have to be 30 years old to become a U.S. senator. So he ran as a 29-year-old running. He got even elected as a 29-year-old. And then it come for him to took the oath of office to be senator. And the U.S. Senate said, no, you can't assume the office. You have to wait 6 months, you see, until you become 29 and 30. Mm-hmm. So running for office, being elected for office, and holding office are three different steps. So in New Jersey, I gave you an example of a woman called PETA Lindsay, 28-year-old. Give you another example. This is, as you thought it was funny, you running for office as an Australian citizen. There was a Nicaraguan citizen. He was not born in the United States. He wasn't even naturalized, took the oath to be a U.S. citizen. He's a Nicaraguan citizen living in Nicaragua and sometimes going back and forth. Okay, doesn't even have a green card, is a Nicaraguan citizen. A set of electors, his name is Roger Calero, in 2004, twice in New Jersey, choose him as their pledge candidate. Those 14 electors get put on the ballot because he's not running for the office. They are. If he had been elected, if those electoral candidates had been elected, and let's say on January 6th, and Congress said, whoa, 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 this guy's a Nicaraguan citizen. Either Congress would have to pass new legislation saying Nicaraguan citizens are allowed, or they would have to choose different electors. You see?
Yep.
New Jersey allowed him on the ballot, not once, not twice. Now consider me, I was born in India, but I took the oath of allegiance in 1983. I've lived in the United States now for 54 years, and I became a bona fide U.S. citizen. Not like him, I'm a U.S. citizen. Been here, contributed to this country, you know, all sorts of stuff. So a set of elector candidates, 14 of them, say, we like Dr. Shiva. They made me their pledge candidate. They went and collected all the signatures in the rain and the snow. And they got all the qualified, they're fully qualified, they're residents of New Jersey, right? Fully qualified to be the electoral candidates. They submit all the paperwork, they're approved to be on the ballot. Guess what happens? Kamala Harris and the Democratic Party, her party in New Jersey, files a lawsuit against me. They say, whoa, Dr. Shiva cannot be on the ballot for the office of president. And they take it to an administrative court. Think about, with everything I've shared, now you're going to see the absurdity of this stupidity. And New Jersey Democratic Party, who's frankly afraid of me, brown-skinned Indian guy who will expose Kamala Harris, will take votes from her. And by the way, the same New Jersey Democratic Party didn't say anything against PETA Lindsay, didn't say anything against Roger Calero, didn't say anything against Linda Jenness or Larry Holmes. Those two other people are also below the age of 35. Since 1972, the Democratic Party has never said anything against these people who are ineligible to hold the office. But why did they come after me? So they file a lawsuit saying, Dr. Shiva is ineligible to hold the office of president, therefore he should be removed off the ballot. So let's just walk how fucked up this is. A, I'm not running for the office of president, idiot. Idiocracy number one. B, I'm not on the ballot, idiot. My name is on the ballot representing those electors, based on what I told you. So anyway, they get this heard by a fucking judge. A lower court judge who's a fucking idiot. And this is how his ruling goes. He goes, yes, I've gotten an objection. The Constitution says to hold the office, you must be a natural born citizen. Natural born fucking idiot is never defined. The Marquis de Lafayette was made a natural born citizen. He was born in France. So what is natural born? Furthermore, the 14th Amendment, which was passed in the 1800s, said all citizens are equal, natural born or naturalized. And by the way, let me tell you how screwed up this is. Right now, I could go to Australia, adopt 20 Australian kids born in Australia, bring them here, make them my kids, and guess what? They're considered natural born. Natural born isn't even defined, all right? But anyway, the 14th Amendment abrogated that. It said all people are created equal, okay? It's called equal protection. So anyway, this idiot judge, forgetting all of that, regardless of that, he's accepting this lawsuit, which has should have been accepted. Why? Why, Crypto Rick? Because I'm not running for the office of president. Who's running for, there is no office of president. It's those electors. If you have a problem with them, call them into court and question their qualifications. He couldn't. So they dragged me into court and they say, you're not qualified to hold the office, therefore we're kicking your electors off the ballot. Does this make any sense from what I've told you? It makes no fucking sense.
Makes sense.
So I'm explaining this, but because people are brainwashed, this is a judge. He says, no. And by the way, he says, you know, there's actually no law that says the qualification for holding for office doesn't mean you can run for office, but I'm going to make up the law. He makes it up. It's in his rulings. Anyway, so then the New Jersey Secretary of State, who's the chief election official, simply takes his ruling, rubber stamps it, and says, we're kicking off the elector candidates for Dr. Shiva, who's a plague, off the ballot. Doesn't make any sense. So I appeal that then at the state court to the New Jersey Secretary of State, appeal it to the appellate division. They take it all the way to the Supreme Court of New Jersey. They all rubber stamp. Oh, you're natural born because you can't hold the office. Therefore, you're ineligible to run. What? I'm not running for the office, idiot. And you didn't say anything to Roger Calero, who's a fucking Nicaraguan citizen. The reason this was done is the judges, the New Jersey Secretary of State, are all Democratic Party people who are scared that I'll take hundreds of thousands of votes away and disrupt Kamala Harris's domination in New Jersey. That's what this was about, because they didn't do anything to a Nicaraguan citizen, right? So independently, what's happening is, so my lawsuit now is going to the United States Supreme Court of the United States. It's quite an extraordinary lawsuit, and I think I can share that with you here. Do I have sharing rights?
Let me have a look.
If you make me co-host, I can share.
Yeah. Okay, I think you can try share now.
Okay, so if you now, remember, there are the state courts. If the state courts fucks you, you can go all the way up to the United States Supreme Court. And I had to file a brief to the United States Supreme Court. And by the way, there's only a limited number of lawyers who can even practice in the U.S. Supreme Court. It's like a senior counsel in your countries. I'm not a lawyer, but I'm an engineer. But I've learned the law probably better than most lawyers. I represented myself in federal court in one cases. But I had to do a Supreme Court brief, which I've never done. So the last 4 weeks, of those of you out there, the reason you haven't seen me is I've been learning the law. It's like I went to freaking law school. And no lawyer wanted to help us because guess what? We're an independent candidate. They're all in Trump's camp or Kamala Harris's camp or Booby fucking Kennedy's camp. Or they don't want to help us. They see us as competition. So I had to learn the law. I had to file this lawsuit. And you have to do it in a very specific way. You have to file it with certain point font. You have to consolidate everything into one page, what your chief things are. It has to be under 9,000 words, right? So this is quite a Herculean effort. It's like someone saying build a B-52 airplane and you don't even know aeronautics. You have to learn aeronautics. You have to learn the manuals. You have to learn metallurgy. That's the kind of shit I had to do. But I was grateful to take on the challenge, but I learned a shitload. So let me share this with you.
Yep.
So if you can see this, this is the United States site. Can you see that? The Supreme Court site.
Yep.
Okay. And on the site, you can go to case documents. And then, so first of all, you file it and then they have to docket it, which itself is a big thing, right? They don't docket every case because you have to have it in a specific format. So if you type in my name now, this is just new. We filed it on September 20th. It was docketed on September 26th. So here is the case. And you can see right here, and the word count has to be specific, 9,000 words or less. And you have to send them 40 booklets done in a very particular format. So here's the petition I filed. Can you see this? The PDF is coming up. Can you see that?
Yep.
Okay, so this is a petition. You have to do it in a very particular format. You see, we filed it on September 26th. And the first page of it, and it has to be exactly, I think, 4 1/8 and 7 1/8 height. Century Book font, 2-point spacing. It's quite interesting. It's like old school. So this is what I presented to the Supreme Court. I said, for the first time in the history of the United States, a state silenced a presidential candidate running for the office of president whose message spoke to the inequity of the natural born qualification, a requirement for holding the office. Now you understand that, what I said there, right?
Mm-hmm.
That flouts, which means goes against equal protection, which is equal protection clause of the 14th Amendment, to make second class citizens of 25 million Americans. There's 25 other million Americans like me, Crypto Rick, who came here, worked hard, and were bona fide citizens, not Nicaraguan citizens, U.S. citizens, okay? The New Jersey Secretary of State prematurely adjudicated and enforced that very qualification, which is a natural born clause, to remove Dr. Shiva Adre, Dr. Shiva, from the ballot, though he met every statutory requirement. You see, prematurely, that's for becoming president. How can you use those qualifications to stop me from running? You have no right to do that. The Supreme Court of New Jersey, by denying his motion for emergent review, condoned the state's gross violation of his First and 14th Amendment rights and held states possess authority regardless of the lack of congressional authorization to determine that a presidential candidate is disqualified from running for the office under the natural born clause. They have no right to do that. Only Congress can do that on January 6th. Does this all make sense now, Crypto Rick?
It makes a whole lot of sense. With the natural born clause, is there some sort of how do they define? Like, they define it as some, like, do they specifically define it as someone?
It's not defined. Born? It's not defined. Mm. It's assumed to mean that you're born on the soil of the United States. But the reality is, the natural born clause. Like I said, in the late 1700s, early 1800s, the Marquis de Lafayette, who was a French citizen born in France, was made a natural born citizen because he fought with the army. There were many citizens prior to the formation of the Constitution were born in England and the West Indies. They too were made citizens.
It reminds me of like Roman law in the Roman Empire. You know, like some were given Roman citizenship even though they were taken as slaves, but after working in the war efforts or serving in the, you know, the Roman guards, after whatever X number of years, they were given Roman citizenship. Once they were given Roman citizenship, under the eyes of the law, they were seen as almost equal to.
Exactly. So the whole concept of natural born comes from British royalty law, that when the British traveled everywhere, so if a bunch of two British royals went to India and subjugated the Indian people and they had some kids born there, even though they were born on Indian soil, they were still considered citizens of England. You see? So a bunch of U.S. elites, Trump could go to Kamala Harris or Elon Musk could go to Africa and bang a bunch of women there, or men, have kids there. They're considered natural born because they're citizens of the U.S. Okay? So natural born was never defined. In fact, starting in 2001 of this century, if you're a U.S. citizen, natural born otherwise, you could go to Africa, adopt a bunch of kids, bring them back. They're considered natural born. So me, born in America, who took the oath of allegiance and pledged to fight for this country, became a naturalized U.S. citizen. I could go to Africa, kids born on African soil, adopt them and bring them here. They can run for president, some people think, but I can't. It's stupid. So the natural born clause was never defined. More importantly, 100 years later, after slavery ended in the United States, they created the 14th Amendment, which said natural born or naturalized citizens are all equal. Okay? So this is what I say in the next paragraph. I said, ironically, the effort to remove Dr. Shiva from the ballot was initiated by the New Jersey Democratic Party, right? They claim they're for black people, women, all the darkies, right? Et cetera. By the New Jersey Democratic State Committee, whose candidate, Kamala Harris, benefits immensely from the same equal protection now defined to Dr. Shiva. Equal protection clause of the 14th Amendment is what allows Kamala Harris, a woman of color, to run. It's what allows her as a woman to be president. Because the same right next to the natural born clause was another clause which said only he can be president. So I said the questions that I'm presenting before the Supreme Court are, is not the state's premature adjudication of qualifications of president unconstitutional? Right? What they're talking about, stopping my elector candidates from running based on my qualifications for holding the office, that's way premature. That's putting the cart before the horse. The second thing is not Congress, not states, responsible for enforcing all qualifications against federal office holders? That's what happened in a recent case with Trump versus Anderson, where they were trying to throw Trump off the ballot. They said, no, only Congress can throw him off. And then finally, does natural born violate equal protection, making 25 million American second-class citizens? So I'm asking three fundamental questions. Now, the Supreme Court should take this case on. They're only supposed to take cases on that are of national importance. Anyway, all of this stuff I did by hand. No lawyer helped me with this. This is what people would pay millions of dollars to lawyers to do. So I had to do all of this. It was writing like a third PhD thesis, you know?
Wow. So
I just want to let everyone know that I'm a fighter, and I've always been fighting for people. My run for president, you know, when I ran for Senate in the United States, it was I who exposed the fact that the governments of the world have a backdoor portal into Twitter and to every social media company. Not Elon Musk, not Tucker Carlson, not Kennedy. I did that. But they suppress that news because they don't want to give limelight or credit to the people who actually do the work, because we're coming bottoms up. They always try to steal your credit, okay? So this lawsuit is of national importance. Now, the chance of the Supreme Court taking this is always 1%. They typically, I remember the Supreme Court is made up of people who support one of the two major parties. They don't want to support independent candidates. That's what this is about, because anyway, you can see this was a tremendous amount of effort. Okay. I literally did this in 2 weeks, nonstop, got very little sleep. Okay. But no one helped us. So I just wanted to share this with you and your viewers and the global viewers listening to this. So the myth of the presidential election is on November 5th. You're not voting for the president of the United States. You're voting for the electors. And the electors can choose Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, Russell Crowe, Al Pacino, you know, Vladimir Putin, a five-year-old, a stuffed animal to be their pledge candidate. The states cannot adjudicate their pledge candidate's qualifications because they're not voting for them. They're voting for the fucking electors. So do you see how fucked up this is? How it's fucked up all levels. And if I hadn't run for president, I wouldn't be doing this video to educate the American people. When everyday people like me run for office, we uncover shit. Smart guys like me, but they want people like me to, oh, you're an engineer. You're an inventor of email. You're only supposed to, you're a techie. Just do that. They don't want us taking our engineering knowledge and coming to a different field because we're going to uncover all sorts of shit. I'm the one who uncovered the reality of the pandemic at the right time. I was the one who spoke out against the lockdowns in March of 2020. Booby fucking Kennedy was supporting lockdowns. Trump was supporting lockdowns. Kamala Harris was. The point is, we need people like me and you, everyday people, bottoms up to be leaders, not these scumbags. And they've created all these barriers to entry. So the reality is in New Jersey, they violated their own law. And the reason they did that was they don't want someone like me galvanizing people. They don't want my name showing up on the ballot because 10 million people see, oh, who's this guy, Dr. Shiva Ayyadurai? I get publicity. The real election fraud occurs by who they give publicity to. So this is what I want everyone to, the myth of the presidential election is November 5th. You're not voting for the office of president. You're voting for electors.
So for the viewer at home who's American, what could they do to help further support your work or your appeal? Is there anything they could do?
Yes. So what they can do is, great question. So let me share the screen again. So what people can do is two things, okay? The first thing people need to recognize is something very profound. Why am I running for president? Because I already know all this stuff, right? I know they're fraudulent, right? Because why am I running for president of the United States? Why? Because the opportunity to run for president of the United States, let's see. Just going on. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Yeah, the opportunity to run for president of the United States gives us a unique opportunity to bring up issues at the national level and give people an opportunity to understand what does a real candidate of the people really look like. You see, people don't get that. They get all these fake candidates. The standard, I mean, Trump is anointed by the Zionist swarm. So is Kamala Harris. It doesn't matter which one of them wins. They're both supported by Zionism. They're both supported by the elites. They're both supported by big moneyed interests. If you compare their qualifications to mine, it's like, doesn't even match. And I earned my qualifications, bottoms up, everything I've done, every penny I've earned. It's truly the American dream. So when you really hear the journey I've gone through, it's really the American journey. Trump hasn't gone through the American journey. Kamala Harris hasn't gone through the American journey. She's a Brahmin Indian who grew up in an elite family. I grew up in a non-Brahmin family when her Tamil Brahmin ancestors used to spit on my people. They used to treat us as slaves in India. She was hanging out in Montreal, Canada, while I was in New Jersey mowing lawns and playing baseball. She has no idea of the American journey. Neither does Trump. Trump has never worked a day in his life. His father was a slumlord, gave him all this real estate, which he, by the way, frittered away. He's not a businessman. He's a fake businessman sitting behind a desk and holding a phone. Okay? The guy's a scumbag.
He's an actor. That's all he is. He's just an actor.
Yeah, he's a C-list actor. All these people are actors. Nothing they do is real. By the way, Elon Musk is an actor. Fucker Carlson is an actor. All these people are part of the government deep state. They're chosen and they're put in front of you. And all the influencers who retweet them out are also supported. Now, They have a serious problem with me because in 2020, 2021, I amassed about a half a billion people throughout the world to know me. So they had to stop that. They said, holy shit, this guy's not with us. He's actually an educated fucking smart guy, came bottoms up and is relentless. He's going to fuck us up. So we have to make him invisible. The problem is I'm the big elephant in the room. A lot of people are like, wait a minute. Dr. Shiva's the one who discovered that. Dr. Shiva's the one who did that. Why are you putting Kennedy? Why is Kennedy plagiarizing his shit? Right? Why are you removing him from the ballot when he followed all the rules? So what can people do? Well, the good news is we are on nearly every ballot, around 46 ballots. But in every state, we have electors. Some states we got on there as a write-in where people can write in our name legally and they'll be counted. In other states, they'll see our name on the ballot. So what people can do is if the only way out of this, and everyone needs to really get this, is offline, offline, offline. The future is not online. And you're looking at the guy, the inventor of email, telling you that, okay? A technologist. The future technology for freedom is offline. It's going to be paper. It's going to be conversations, one-on-one. The online medium is completely controlled, consolidated between government and big tech companies. Government of the United States is not supposed to censor U.S. citizens. So what they've done is they've created private entities that they laundered their censorship to. That's what Elon Musk does for them. That's why he gets to put rockets up. He's a fucking government stooge. He's never invented anything. The guy's a moron. Mm-hmm. Every company he's touched has failed. He's allowed to run these companies. SpaceX, how does a guy get up? 67% of the satellites up there are his. How does that happen? Mm-hmm. Go try to get a permit to even put a kitchen to your bathroom by the local town hall, how much shit you have to go through. How does a guy get 67% of the satellites overnight? Because he's working for government. He's a government agent. Tesla is a surveillance engine. Twitter is surveillance for the government. It's the most important political platform. So real anti-establishment people like me were put back on after I was removed for exposing this, but they put you in a digital cage. It's so obvious. Yeah. People with 10,000 followers do a tweet, they get 100,000 retweets. I, with 300,000 followers, do tweets, do amazing content. What I used to get, 200, 300,000, 10 million views, now I'm down to, a few views. This is why I go to independent podcasters and the future is offline. So what can you do? This is number one. Go to Shiva for president. Am I going to ask you for money? Notice I haven't asked for money. That's what these other scumbags do. What I'm going to ask you for is your labor. Go to this site and go right here where it says free downloads. Free. Download. You can print out this card, a little business card. Front of it says this, back of it says this. You can print them out, hand out 10,000 of them. Go to parking lots, go to, drive, wherever you want to go. And it says, save yourself. You see our message, Crypto Rick? Our message is, I'm not going to here to save you. No one's coming to save us. Do you want to save yourself? If you want to save yourself, vote or write in Dr. Shiva. Now, why do I say this? Look at the results. And this is a global phenomenon since 1970 till now. Lifespan is going down. Cost of living is going up everywhere. And if you want to change this, you can't be voting for these fucking idiots. You need a systems overhaul. So in order to understand that, you see on the right side of the card, it says, learn to fight back. Watch this video. And that video, you may have seen the Shatter the Swarm video. If you haven't seen it, you should make sure you see it. Shatterthesvarm.com.
Yeah, I've seen it. It's a great video. I actually knew you before we did our interviews, basically describing how they set up systems to control people. They don't control you at an individual level, but they put systems in place to then control you. Setting up our own systems from the ground roots up rather than accept their top-down approach, like you mentioned,
So our whole thing, Crypto Rick, to your point is, my running for office gives people an opportunity to see what a real leader is. A real leader tells you to save yourself, and a real leader will teach you. So if you want to learn, first of all, hand out these cards, but go to shatterthesvarm.com right there, right? Go to that site right now. Watch, it'll take 15 minutes. It'll save you your lifetime. Watch that video because it'll explain to you how the few control the many. And then I give you a free course. I took a whole bunch of my videos, our volunteers made them into a course. It's called Get Off the Plantation. Once you understand who's wrong, who is manipulating you, the next question is, do you want to get off their plantation? Some people don't. They'll talk a big game. Oh my God, they're screwing me. What to do? The fucking establishment is the deeps. They'll talk all this stuff, how they're being screwed. Well, do you want to end that? I got to go back to work. You know, they don't want to really do anything. Mm-hmm. So then we give you a course called Get Off the Plantation. And then after that, you can go become a Truth, Freedom, Health Warrior Scholar, where you learn to fight. And you join this global community we've created. I don't frankly want to convince anyone to do anything. It's a waste of time in any relationship. It's a headache. We want to find those people who want to save themselves. And then we have a recipe for them. Go watch Shatter the Swarm. Go watch, take this course, right? Go get on the ground, get these cards. And some people, and you go use your own printer. Go steal a printer. Go use your library. Whatever way, by any means necessary, this is a weapon offline. And if you're too lazy to do this and you have money, go to the shop. You can go. We have volunteers helping us who will print 10,000 cards. It'll cost you lots of money and ship it to your home. Okay? Everything included. So you can hand out cards. So we've created a weaponization of this where you get out, hand out cards. Fuck social media. Fuck it. It's not going to... The future is you going direct to people, offline, having conversations. And we have to build this movement for truth, freedom, health. It's the only way out. There is no other, well, what about this? What about this? You know, Trump says some good things, you know, blah, blah, blah. Fuck all that. It's going to continue this systemic problem where the swarm is going to keep killing you and cost of living is going to go up. Your lifespan is going to go down. So that's like someone hitting their head against a wall thinking something's going to change. It's called insanity. Mm. So now those of you who are independently wealthy or just don't even want to do that, you can volunteer. You can donate. If you have a lot of money, give us a lot of money because we'll print more cards. So we have many ways that you can help us, but the future is offline. The future is offline. And you're hearing that from the kid at 14, me, when I was a kid at 14, I invented the first email system. I went to MIT, the number one technology institute in the world, got 4 degrees from there, including my PhD. I'm a techie as it gets, but the future is not on their platforms. Mm. We're surveilled, we're controlled, and anyone who's a real opposition will be put in a digital cage. The future is offline.
Definitely, we all have to do our individual part to resist. It's not just, oh, I'll wait for someone else or someone else will figure it out. Like, we have to, you know, be the ones that, inspire these things. So definitely agree with you. And I definitely appreciate it.
One of the things we've done for our global audience, if people go to this other site, vashiva.com/cards, okay? You'll see we have these same cards for a global message, which is save yourself. In the US, the message is for running for president. Learn to fight back. That's in English. By the way, we have a lot of people in New Zealand and Australia. We have leaders there. Mm-hmm. If you're in Spain, there's a Spanish version. And we have the Shatter the Swarm video in Spanish. If you're in South India, in Tamil. Okay? If you're in North India, in Hindi. This hits 1.6 billion people. If you're in Finland, Scandinavia. If you're in Germany, if you're in France, this is a global movement. If you're in Sweden, if you're in Norway, if you're in Japan, if you're in Italy, if you're in Orissa, right? If you're in Estonia and so on, okay? You can see this is a global movement. The message is the same. They don't give a fuck about you. And the issue is, do you want to save yourself? If you want to save yourself, well, I've spent a lifetime figuring out how to shatter the swarm. There's a science, there's a physics, there's a community, and we've created that. The platform we've created is no different than email or any of the other technologies. It's a platform. And that platform, you can go to truthfreedomhealth.com, and I encourage everyone to go there. And it too is a system like email. You get courses, you get training, you get a community. And by the way, every Thursdays at 11 a.m. and at 8 p.m. tomorrow, we have an open house. You get to see other people who come to your same conclusion that you have to save yourself. There's no way out of this but us. So that's what I wanted to share with you, that we're very practical. We have to get on offline. We have to build our community, but you have to understand the dynamics. You can't wing it. It's like Truth Freedom Health and my running for president offers people an actual platform, an institute, a revolutionary institute for creating revolution, which is raising your consciousness to understand the manipulation, how they manipulate you. Now, you can try to figure out on your own, but you're probably going to get 90 or 100 years, 80 years old if you make it that far. And then say, shit, I should have listened to Dr. Shiva. It would have saved me 60 years. I followed this guy and that guy over here. I went to this group, that group. Mm-hmm. But when you understand the dynamics, just like you understand the dynamics of physics, then you learn to build a bridge or build an airplane. There is a way to build a revolution. Mm-hmm. But you have to understand the physics.
And I think you are probably the most qualified person to run for the office. And you know, it's such a shame that they would do this, you know, at the very tail end. I hope your appeal obviously goes well.
It doesn't even matter. See, the thing is, they're cheaters, Crypto Rick. Remember, these people are fucking cheaters. Those people in power and the sons and daughters of those people in power are all into nepotism. I work my butt off. Everything I have, I earn. Every fucking thing. Everything they have came through networking, going to the right clubs, right? Banging the right people. They haven't earned shit. They're all insecure motherfuckers. Because they're insecure, they will not play fair. They talk about capitalism and market forces. They don't want real competition. Let Elon Musk debate me. I'll expose him for a fool he is. He's a fucking fool. He's not for free speech. So they don't want us working people ever getting the credit for the work we do. They plagiarize our stuff because they're fucking scared shitless. These people have never done anything by themselves. Everything they've done has come from the behest of the swarm. So they're actually weaklings. It's very easy to destroy these people. It's just a mental shift. You have to raise your consciousness. Now, to help you do that, I've created the tools. If you want to do it, great. If you don't and you want to be a fucking slave, stay on the plantation. I'm not going to waste my time with you, nor is our movement. But if you want to get off the plantation, guess what? We've cracked the code. It's all done. It's like, do you want to make a souffle? Do this, do this, do this. If you want to make a poached egg, do this. If you want to make revolution and change the world, we have the science, the physics, the engineering, the tools, the community, everything. So you don't have a fucking excuse to anyone who says, oh, I saw Dr. Shiva's video. He's so great. But what can I do? Well, you didn't fucking get it. Come to the open house. We run them every Thursdays, tomorrow at 11 a.m., 8 p.m. And it's a long day for me. I do it because we want to hit all the time zones. We have people from Australia, New Zealand coming at 8 p.m. EST, like we're doing now, and with people from Europe, et cetera. So no one has a fucking excuse anymore. It's like someone sitting here, oh, I wish we could fly like birds. Yeah, we can. Go to MIT over there and you can learn how to do aeronautical engineering and build an airplane. Oh, I wish we could change the world. Well, we have that. We figured it out. And it doesn't involve taking guns and starting to shoot people. It involves you raising your fucking consciousness and understanding the swarm and getting offline. Now, the problem is when people come across this, they go, fuck, I got to do shit. And then they make all these excuses. Ooh, well, Trump is sort of okay because they want to outsource their future to the elites. And then they wonder why they're getting fucked.
Yeah, definitely. Red or blue, neither care about you. I will put the links to your details in the pinned comments in the description so people can have access to that when they see this video. Is there anything else you wanted to wrap up with? Or
yeah, I think as you wrap this up, when you put this up, make sure people go to shattertheswarm.com. Number one, they all go to vashiva.com/cards, get those cards. They go vashiva.com/orientation, Okay. And come to our open house.
Dr. Shiva, you're still muted.
Trey, can you not hear me?
Yep, you're good now. Thank you.
Yeah. So to all of you listening, I've been away for 3-4 weeks because I've had to be, you know, the lawyer here for our entire movement, but we're training many other people in our movement to be fighters at a deep level. So every Thursdays at 11, let's put that up tomorrow, come to our open house. If you want to save yourself, if you don't want to save yourself and you want to sit on your ass and just keep watching people exposing the truth, fucking go do that. But if you want to save yourself and you want to learn how to do that, then you know what? I've created the institution, the platform, the technology, the community. So you don't have a fucking excuse anymore. Go to vashiva.com/orientation, join the open house. If you're in the United States, or for that matter, you know people in the United States, Trey, go to shivaforpresident.com. Go there. Go to the download section. Download those cards. Hand them out. The future is offline. You can see I do videos. They get like 1,000 views, man. Fuck Elon Musk. The guy's full of shit. He's so fucking afraid of me. He's afraid, and all of his Silicon Valley buddies are afraid of real guys like me. They've made their wealth through insider trading. They haven't really created any advanced technologies. They make all of their companies through insider trading, and I could do a whole video on that. I made my wealth through bottoms-up hard work like every working people in the world does, the 8 billion of us. These people are cheaters. So go to Shiva for President, get those cards and hand them out. And as I close, we're going to play two videos. Trey, can you play the video first on our campaign, the campaign video, Trey? You know what I'm talking about?
Who would have ever thought I'd be running for president of the United States of America?
And then
I was born a low-caste untouchable in India's caste system, a system of aristocracy, oppression, and racism. My name is Dr. Shiva Ayyadure. I'm an MIT PhD, a Fulbright scholar, a scientist, engineer, entrepreneur, and inventor. My family and I left India to come to America on my 7th birthday. I grew up in the working class neighborhoods of New Jersey, playing baseball, mowing lawns, painting houses, and coding software. My friends and neighbors are blacks, Italians, Irish, people of all races. As a 14-year-old, I wrote 50,000 lines of software code to create the world's first email system and was awarded the first U.S. copyright for email, recognizing me as its official inventor at a time when copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I did that long before I ever came to MIT, revealing that big innovations can occur anytime, any place, by anybody. Growing up, I saw politicians dividing us by race and religion in both America and India. to have us fighting each other while they remain safe in their gated communities and in their playgrounds of Hollywood, Martha's Vineyard, and Silicon Valley. I'm a fighter. I fought racism and exposed their imperialist wars, fought for workers and put my life on the line against global corruption. I never wanted to run for political office. All that changed when I saw working Americans as never before being duped by the establishment and the not so obvious establishment. Across left and right, we were being sold out and made to forget why we came to America and why America existed. Lawyers, academics, billionaires, celebrities and politicians, elites, Clintons, Kennedys, Bidens, Obamas, Bushes, black and white have hijacked America. They printed trillions for their friends. They delivered crumbling infrastructure, corruption and racism. They transferred trillions to themselves, dividing black and white, fear-mongering and fake science. Lockdowns and censorship, dirty air, food and water, pushing drugs upon us, making us sicker. We've been sold out. One set of rules for them and another for us. We deserve a warrior with a history of courage in putting everything on the line for you, who believes in you, not them, who has created a movement bottoms up for truth, freedom, health. I've exposed their lies at the right time, never waiting until it was popular. I've exposed their false gods who exist to lead you back to them. I've exposed their fake science of lockdowns and masking and provided you solutions to fight them and win and protect your immune system, saving millions. I exposed Fauci, galvanized the Fire Fauci campaign when others remained silent. When they stole our election, we sued the government and Twitter in our historic 2020 federal lawsuit, exposing in bare view the government and big tech censorship infrastructure, the unholy alliance between government and social media companies. Where was Elon and his grifters? They stood by the sidelines and did nothing. They did not use their megaphones to help us when it could have made a big difference. Now our movement grows for truth, freedom, health, independent of all of them. Every day, millions are learning the science of systems, the knowledge the elites do not want you to have, so you may learn how to think, stand up, and fight, independent of the establishment of left and right and their fake heroes. Now it's time for you to join the movement to win back America, to win back truth, win back freedom, win back your health. That's why I'm running for president of the United States. This race is about you. This race is about truth, freedom, health versus power, profit, control. We've had enough. They think we'll fall in line and vote again for their lawyers, celebrities, billionaires, and chosen ones from above. We choose our heroes from below, from the rank and file, who do what is right at the right time, not when it's convenient and popular. They can never represent us. What America needs is a movement by the working people, for the working people, who are educated, organized, decentralized, and fight for independence from their systems of control. And that movement exists. It's ready for you. We don't need them. We need us to go bottoms up, neighbor to neighbor. My journey, your journey, are all the same. It's our time. It's time we had one of us. It's time to win back truth, freedom, health, to win back America. Be part of this historic movement all the way to our victory on November 5th, 2024. If you're an American citizen, pledge your vote now for Dr. Shiva Iyaduray, the independent candidate for U.S. president. No matter where you live, you can be a part of this. Volunteer as little as 20 minutes a day. Don't delay. This is Dr. Shiva Iyaduray, and I approve this message, paid for by Dr. Shiva for president.
We have allowed our country to be taken over from within, and the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves, because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you, deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to, and we need to all unite working people. There's only one movement that can do that. And that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left-wing, right-wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train a army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up. Working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, you don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You've got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is the not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is the not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you on the left and the right. The Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you. The Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement. And that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game. And then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done. And it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up. His own, quote unquote, people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhelp.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics, and I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people 2 years of MIT control systems. I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it. Anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I got to build a bottoms-up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. Now, the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhelp.com, so people can sign in, they can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth, Freedom, Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there, but we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhelp.com.
All right, everyone, I hope that was valuable. This is Dr. Shiva Aydure. Again, we've had a discussion on the myths of the presidential election. You've been brought up to date on what we're doing with our campaign. We're filing, as Richard Winger said, we filed the most number of lawsuits fighting for ballot access for the American people. No one else has done this. Booby fucking Kennedy is not an independent presidential candidate. The guy's a fucking shit eater. He's got brains. And he's got worms in his brain and whatever. He has no regard for anything, women, men, or any of that. You can just look at what he's just recently done, the news that's come out on him. But bottom line is our movement, Truth, Freedom, Health, Shiva for President, is a real movement for the people, by the people. Get involved. Get involved. Get involved. Go to Shiva for President. Come to our open house tomorrow and get involved. Our movement has real people who are fighting for all of us. So you have no excuse to sit on the sidelines anymore. No excuse at all. So anyway, I hope this is valuable. For those of you who joined us late, you may want to go review this video. And the video was the myth of the U.S. presidential elections. And I laid out step by step what are the U.S. presidential elections and how they actually work. So I hope you go study that. You'll know better than 99% of the lawyers how presidential elections actually work. Most of them have no idea. They're just robots who just repeat the same old nonsense. So get involved. Be well. Thank you.